Conan O'Brien needs a fan. Want to talk to Conan? Visit teamcoco.com/callconan. Okay, let's get started.
Hi there, Emma. Please meet Conan.
What a dream come true.
Cut the background.
Wait a minute. Matt was too busy laughing. You have kind of an outrageous background. What is your name?
My name is Emma Alamo.
Emma Alamo.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Emma Alamo. That's fantastic. What a lovely, I love the way your name elides, the way the first name smashes into the second name. It's cool.
Thank you.
Emma Alamo. but that is not where I want to begin. It's a fascinating name. Because when I want to, I'm going to explain a visual to my...
Is there something weird about my workplace?
Well, behind you are, I can see three mannequins that are nude, and then their bodies are encased in what looks like bondage straps, mm-hmm. leather bondage straps. So let's talk about that. What is that?
Oh my God, it's a little dildo on a pot.
There's a potted plant with a strap on.
You just held up a small, it's a podcast, so I need to describe things. You just held up a small potted plant, and it has a blue dildo strapped to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, as if the small little shrub is ready for action.
It looks like Gonzo's nose.
It does, yeah.
It looks like a blue dick.
Yeah, Gonzo's nose famously looks like a blue dick. So,
okay, Emma, I'm going to try and get this thing
Should
on track.
Should we start over?
I apologize. Oh, no, we're not starting over. Emma, you appear to work, is this right? You're somehow working in the bondage industry or bondage trade.
I make leather bondage harnesses.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that a family business?
yeah. Passed down from generation to generation. Yeah.
Since 1782. That'd be great. Why, George Washington was our first customer. That would be great if there was a long line of like severe looking women with bonnets and men with big beards, black and white old photos.
Yeah.
For nine generations, we've been making bondage harnesses and bondage material. Okay, I'm just going to come right out with it. I shot a remote once in Germany mm-hmm. where, do you remember this, Sona? Hard to forget, I guess, where I went to this... I don't know if it was an avant-garde woman who does bondage. And she put me in straps and harnesses. And all I remember is thinking, this doesn't feel sexy at all to me. This is not what I envision as something sexy. So that was a great awakening for me, was that, okay, this is not my kink, this bondage thing. But I was impressed with the quality of the leather mm-hmm. and the quality of the workmanship. So tell me, how do you know how to make this stuff?
I'm self-taught. I've been doing this for like 5 years. A lot of YouTube tutorials and just searching on the internet, asking friendly people at leatherworking stores to show me how tools work. But yeah, I was a woodworker for most of my 20s. So I feel like I came into this with some, you know, an understanding of making three-dimensional things. So that definitely...
Okay. So you started out as a simple carpenter like Jesus.
A simple carpenter. Exactly like Jesus.
And then...
This is what Jesus became. They don't go into that in the Bible.
Had Jesus made it later into his 30s, maybe he would have branched out, is mm-hmm. what you're saying.
Yeah.
And my apologies to maybe two-thirds of the people listening.
Yeah.
But anyway, so... Okay, let me ask you this. When you're making bondage harnesses, what is it that you're going for? What is it that you want the harness to do? What's the thing that gives people pleasure?
Well, I mean, it totally depends on what I'm making. Some of the things I make are like just for the aesthetic, and they don't have a function. Beyond that, like this one behind me, basically like most of the market for bondage harnesses is geared towards like really masculine, like gay men and like leather daddies. And what I try to do with my designs is kind of subvert that and make more feminine looking things. So aesthetically, my stuff, is more is more like elegant and has thinner straps. But some of them are, you know, for to be like to have parts of your body cinch or to enable someone to yank you around or, you know, to be restrained, like handcuffs. This is a hog tie set that I'm holding up right now, which I sell a lot of.
Okay, so that you sell a lot of those. Those are leather.
Everyone's
you're holding up
trying to get
very
hog tied. Yeah.
Hey, tell me about it. Yeah.
I'm on a waiting list.
Yeah, exactly. They keep saying this item is out of stock. Refresh cart. So restraint is a big part of it.
Yes.
People that want to be restrained.
And then like the little plant with the boner that I was holding up earlier, you know, I make a lot of strap-on harnesses. So, you know, sometimes you want a dick and you weren't born with a dick. So, you know,
sure.
You make
hey,
do.
Tell me about it.
With a store-bought is fine.
So wait, so these are women that want to have a penis.
Women or trans men. Or, you know, sometimes people who are born with a penis, you know, want to have two or want to have one that is different or works differently or stays, you know, stays erect infinitely.
Huh.
Yeah. So I make a lot of strap-on harnesses, which are just leather harnesses that have O-rings that can hold a dildo. And again, what I try to do, you know, with my harnesses is make them, in addition to being utilitarian, make them something, you know, that's flattering and that makes the person wearing it feel confident and sexy.
Yeah. That's the thing is it's important that the strap-on be flattering. You know, you want to take into account what you're wearing, what else you're wearing, you know, what your mood is, I suppose.
Yeah, it's the whole vibe.
What about chastity belts? Is that a thing that people are still into?
Yes. And it's funny you should say that because, again, I mostly make things for women and queer people. I do sometimes make things for you know, the men, the straight men, by request, but it's not my specialty. But at this point, I am so wary of any man who asks me to make him a chastity device because...
Oh, wait. Men can have chastity devices?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I always thought of it as like women... I didn't know. I thought it was... I think of like that old medieval times of where this woman will have to wear a chastity belt and this will keep her pure.
Yeah.
Men can wear chastity belts?
Yep, yeah, sure
what does
can.
That look like?
Well, it is... It's like a metal cock cage.
And it goes,
and sometimes
can I just
loop.
Point out that's the this is the seventh time on this podcast that someone has said cock cage.
I'm glad you keep a tally. So,
yeah, so you win the grand prize.
So it's
which
a metal,
is in fact a cock cage.
Only two of them were in reference to Nicolas Cage.
So wait, so it's a metal thing that encases a man's you know, unit, as it were.
Oh wow, now you're censoring yourself after everything that's been said.
And it's snug enough that it makes it very uncomfortable for the wearer to get aroused.
Oh.
So sometimes what men have asked me to do is make a harness that that keeps it, you know, snug to their hips. And frequently their dominatrix or their dominant partner will have the key to it, so they're in control. But on two different occasions, someone has asked me to make them a harness for a cock cage and then has continued been like, okay, these are the specifics of what I want. And like 5 minutes into the conversation, I'm like, oh, you have no intention of commissioning a leather harness from me. You're just trying to get me to talk to you about your chastity fetish. And you're like getting off on this, which is
weird. So this is over the phone. Someone saying
here's email what or Instagram. Yeah.
Or Instagram. And they're saying, okay, if you could, what I want is I want this and then I want that, but I want the, I don't want it to be a key. I want it to have a pin code. So I want it to have an electrical unlocking system.
Does that voice sound familiar, Emma?
You know?
Listen, Emma, I called you both times with every intention of making a purchase. I just got a little carried away. That's all that happened. Emma.
To you, Conan. Now, anytime a man asks me to design any sort of chastity device, I'm immediately requiring a $200 deposit.
Smart.
Yep.
So
you should. Men are weird.
That's so,
men
I mean,
creepy.
I'm sorry. That's,
yeah.
That's,
a, yeah, they are.
Can I say, that's a new low to call and engage you. It is rude. It's not listed
right, like you
in
can call a phone sex line. Like there are so many sites where you can pay to have someone who does this professionally talk to you about
Emma.
Emma,
those lines aren't great. And trust me, I have a whole list of complaints, and I've actually been talking to the Better Business Bureau about some of these lines.
Are they the problem? I don't, I feel like you say unit.
So anyway, so Emma, here's what I'm curious about. So someone will call you, and at what point do you realize this is person doesn't even want me to make this? They're just trying to arouse themselves by getting me to talk about it. At what point does it become clear? What's the moment when the nickel drops and you go, oh?
Well, first of all, they email me or message me through Instagram because it's 2022 and no one makes phone calls anymore.
Can I say something? My fetish is having a woman like you tell me I'm a boomer who doesn't understand how technology works. This is very arousing to me right now.
Oh, come on.
Well, I'm going to need a $200 deposit from you.
Having an attractive young woman. Okay, but first, what did I do wrong? What did I say that betrayed me as being out of touch? That's
hilarious.
There are
humiliatrixes. People are into all sorts of shit. People who are raised Irish Catholic, especially, are into all sorts of shit. So,
wow.
Past you.
Look what I do for a living. Surprised. I have been, I have sought out a career of being humiliated, and I have pursued it relentlessly. Whatever they come up with, a new kind of like, oh, there's a new thing called a podcast. It's another way that you can be humiliated routinely, Conan. I'm in. So clearly, I have that fetish.
But anyways, back to the male chastity thing. I can tell when they start asking me for my input too much. If they're like, I want it to attach to a cage. What do you think about these cages? Which one would you pick? When they start wanting me to make decisions, at this point, I feel like I catch on pretty quickly. And I'm also just wary of people who seem like straight men immediately when they want to engage in a longer conversation about an order. I try to gear them towards putting down a deposit pretty quickly so I know they're serious.
Yeah. Get them to put down a deposit before they put down a deposit. You know what I'm saying?
If you know what I mean.
Oh, come on.
Oh, you owe her $200 for that.
Yeah. I owe you $600 for that.
Yeah, we're really racking it up. Yeah.
You know, can I say something? Boy, this is again. I know that you are a craftsperson. You are an artisan, and you find that there's a certain kind of leather. Is there a perfect leather for bondage? Do you find there's a kind of leather that's like, oh, this is like calfskin. Nothing beats a calfskin chastity belt. Nothing beats this kind of leather or that kind of leather.
But yeah, I definitely geek out about the material I work with and like obsess over the specifics of it. And am a perfectionist to the point, to my own detriment. And I also really like solid brass hardware. I use solid brass hardware for most of the stuff, which drives the cost way up, but it's stronger. It holds up.
You know
better.
What? It's worth it. It's worth it.
Yeah.
You want to have, this is not an area where you should cheap out. It should be the best quality brass. It should be highest quality leather. And my other question is, what about sizing? So for example, let's say, I were to buy some sort of leather harness.
Come on.
Just let me finish. This is a question, and I'm a journalist. Let's say that.
What?
Let's just say I'm a customer, and I have unusual. Let's just say I have unusual proportions. I have unusual, you know, I'm very tall. My body is very disproportionate in many ways. Would I ever come in for a fitting, or is it all done? Do I supply
Actually, yes, you would. You would come in for a fitting. I do every now and then.
Because you're
people buy appointment for fittings. Yeah, and everyone's body is different.
Who buys a suit, you know, over the phone or online? No, that's not how you do it. You go in for a fitting. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I do, because I sell all over the world. I ship everywhere. So I do have a video on my website that shows people how to take their own measurements. And I do custom sizing for free. And I do plus sizes because, everyone has a different body. And, you know, everyone deserves to look hot in their leather gear.
During COVID, like a lot of us, I was not as active and I was sitting around and depressed and my eating habits changed a little bit. And so I put on some weight. And I noticed that some of my clothes you know, as COVID is winding down and I'm starting to put suits back on, they don't really fit as well. I just thought it'd be really must happen where people get their bondage outfit and they get it. And then, of course, they let themselves go a little bit and they have to come in and say, can you let this out? Can you do, I need an adjustment on my bondage outfit. Or, you know, I thought this was the right chastity belt for me, but then I hit the nachos really hard. And now I need to make some changes. You know, you need some alterations.
People's bodies change for sure. And I definitely had to adjust all of the harnesses I've made for myself after COVID. And I've mailed out a lot of harness extenders in the past 2 years.
That would help. Yeah.
Yeah. Because they all, I mean, you know, as opposed to a suit, the harnesses all buckle and the buckles, you know, give them a few inches of wiggle room on either side. So if someone doesn't want to buy a new harness, I can frequently make an extender. One funny thing did happen like a year ago is someone.
Let me double down on that. Just so for all listeners, harness extenders are available and you should look into
them. They are available.
I mean, you're asking so many questions about fit and there's so many other types of questions you can ask. And you're like, can I get it tailored? If it needs to be extended, like it's all about why you're not asking anything about the kinks or anything.
He's trying to keep it really safe.
Emma, do you take PayPal?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. This is working out really well.
Someone did like a year ago, they emailed me and they said, I bought a strap-on from you forever ago. I really love it. I've actually lost some weight. I was wondering if I could mail it to you and have you take it in so it fits me better. And I had just moved into my new studio. So I said, sure. And I gave them my address and I had put a number wrong in my address. So like a month later, they reached out again and they said, did you get the harness? And I double checked it and realized that it was... I had accidentally had them send it to a different residential building. So someone just with no note got a used strap-on harness in the mail. Wow. I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm just going to make you a new one for free. And I really hope
that's
that
so fantastic.
Whoever got that package learned something new about themselves.
Yeah. Oh, can you imagine just, oh, what's this?
Oh, great. I'm in the movie Seven.
Hey, so Sona pointed out I didn't ask about, I mostly have been figuring out my own order.
Placing an order, yeah.
I am.
Yeah, you have my website up right now, right?
Many things are up. And so what we'll do.
Oh, man.
So what we'll do now, do you ever get a request that betrays an insane kink, like a kink that I know you're non-judgmental, which you should be, but does anyone ever say, I want something and you just, no, I can't accommodate this, or I've never heard of this before?
There's never been one that I won't do. There have been so many that I haven't heard of. One guy who has bought several times from me, him and his wife are belly button fetishists. And first of all, I'm so glad they found each other, right? Like,
yes, I was thinking that same thing. They both are. Did they know that before they got married?
You know what? People, it's for every Mickey, there's a Minnie, you know?
Yeah. For every Audi, there's an Innie.
Yes! 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 That's the quip of the week. That's a good one.
But I've made both of them harnesses that have like big O-rings that like cinch their waist and like push into their belly buttons. And I had to actually reach out to a welder I know to have some custom metal pieces made because for one of them they wanted like a piece of pipe that was going to sort of push into their belly button. And it was funny because at one point the welder was like, do I need to like smooth out the inside of the pipe? Like, are they going to be fucking the pipe? So then I had to email the customer and be like, is the pipe that you're pushing into the belly button, are we going to be putting any sensitive body parts into the pipe? And he was like, no, of course not. And I was like, I don't know, man.
You know what? I love that. I love that you're just talking to a friend of yours who's a welder. And he's like, yeah, Emma, what can I help you with? Are they going to be fucking the pipe?
Better galvanize it. All right.
So they're going to be fucking the pipe. So I won't go. I'm not going to go copper if they're going to be fucking the pipe. All right. Let me ask one more question. Hey, another quick question I got for you. Are they going to be sticking this in the ass at all? they are. Okay. So, all right.
Bruce, we're doing a fuck pipe. Bruce,
we need another fuck pipe. Well, just, I know that's six this week, but just add a seventh. We got it. We can get it done. Man, I love the mundane technical questions. Wow, this is fascinating.
I love this. This is just
fascinating. And so, Emma, I'm told that you have gotten involved more recently in the furry sensation. Is that right? The people wearing furry costumes. That do you attend conventions where people dress up in furry costumes?
Yeah, I attended my first one a couple months ago. It's called Midwest Fur Fest. And for a lot of the furries, which, you know, are people who have their fur suits and their fursonas, and it's this other character that they become, and they're, you know, giant mascot costumes that hide every inch of them. And there's a big community for it. And there is some of them, there is a sexual element to it. For a lot of them, it's not sexual at all. It's just playing. But I vented there, and, yeah, we're showing you right now some photos of a horse and a possum that are wearing leather harnesses over there.
And these photos will be available on Team Coco Podcasts on Instagram, just if you want to check these out.
Because you're going to want to see these. Okay, so I see. So you don't make the leather, you don't make the fur costumes. You make leather harnesses for people dressed up in fur costumes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and mostly for people, I'd say a lot of the people at Fur Fest who bought from me, it was like 60% of them bought harnesses to wear outside of their fursuits. Cause there's a big, you know, there's a big overlap between people who are furries and people who are kinksters. And sometimes they are not kinky as their fursona. It's just a separate thing. So a lot of people bought harnesses just to wear over their normal mortal bodies. But then some people bought harnesses to wear when they're in their fursona.
I see. Cool. What you kept saying fursona, I was thinking of sona. You mean instead of persona, it's fursona.
It's yeah.
I thought people dressed up as a furry version of Sona, and I got confused.
There was a lot of that there, yeah.
I bet you there is going to, you know, Sona has quite a following, and I bet you someone's gonna go as a fur Sona, that's going to become a sensation.
It'd be a huge honor.
Yeah. So this is, and you say some of it is sexual, but you never know. So you could be talking to someone in a furry costume and not know if this is a kink or if this is just them playing around and having fun, but there's nothing sexual attached, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Before we wrap up, I think there's a really important question that Emma has that I want to get to make sure we hear this question. Emma, do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, I name all of my harnesses, and sometimes I just sort of pull names out of thin air because I'm running out of ideas. But frequently I name them after people, you know, different characters or sometimes the first person who modeled that harness. But I want to name a harness the Katakai harness.
The Katakai.
That's good.
Yes.
And I was wondering what kind of harness? Would the Katakai harness, is that a name befitting of like a strap-on harness or like a bustier type of harness?
What kind of harness would that be?
Sorry, that's my birth control alarm going off, but that can wait.
No, it can't, actually. Yeah. You might want to get on that. Anything you want to tell us or everything's good?
Everything's great.
Okay. All right.
My birth is under control.
Okay. Okay. Wow.
Sorry,
all right.
Where
the Katakai,
the Katakai harness.
Okay. The Katakai refers to James Lipton, of course, the esteemed dean of the Actors Studio. I told a story once on the show that has just reverberated, and it was about his wife, Katakai. And he says the line in the story, "Katakai, as God made her." So I have a lot of respect for the late James Lipton, and of course, and by extension, for his lovely wife, Katakai. So I think there should be respect here. I think it should be made of the finest materials. I know that Dean Lipton was very open-minded and had lived a rich and full life. So he would be thrilled. I'm sure he'd be thrilled. There was a strap-on or a harness made in his honor, the Katakai. So I just think my only insistence is that be made of the finest materials, the very finest materials.
Sort of a higher ticket item.
I think it has to be the highest ticket
item. All right.
I think the Katakai has to be, you're not using brass, you're using gold. The leather has to be found.
Human leather.
Human leather.
Human leather. I don't think our skin is actually thick enough to make a functional bondage harness. Not that I've put a lot of thought into it.
Mine is after being on this podcast. Yeah.
I've toughened him up real nice. He's ready to be turned into a skin suit. Yes, the Katakai is made of gorly leather, gold fittings. Make sure it has a good cock cage on it, and make sure you get that welder on the phone to get the very finest materials. Get Lou on the line and make sure that this is fuckable pipe. Jesus, this is terrible. What an awful conversation, and yet at the same time, also quite beautiful.
One last thing before we go. Last night,
I don't know what happened last night.
Well, I made something for you, Conan.
Oh, look at that!
Is that a butt harness?
No, it's a bulldog harness, but I would make you a butt harness if you asked nicely.
What's a bulldog harness? It's so green. It's St. Patrick's Day green.
Yeah, I figured you'd look like a submissive little leprechaun in it, which is all anyone's ever wanted. So it goes.
Oh my God!
It goes over your chest like this.
Oh, that's gorgeous.
Yeah,
I love that.
Just connect a leash to or something?
You can. Yeah, you can.
Oh, you know what?
This is my. By it.
This is my fetish. I would wear that, okay? And I'd be restrained, and I'd be saying to my mistress, I want me pot of gold. And she'd be saying, you can't have your pot of gold. And I'd say, I want me pot of gold. And she'd say, no pot of gold for you. And I would say, I want me pot of gold.
You get the pot of gold when I say you get the pot of gold, and no sooner.
And exactly. I love the submissive leprechaun. That's going to be my new character.
I hope this brings that out in you.
I'm sure it will. I'll wear it every day under my shirt, and my fans will know I'm wearing it. Emma, delight talking to you, and you're clearly very gifted, and you're out there letting people be themselves and letting people let their inner selves out and flourish. That's very nice. You're doing good work. So onward and upward for you, Emma.
Thanks, Dad. Sorry, I just made it weird.
I'll call it.
It wasn't weird before.
It's finally weird.
Yeah. Well, so.
Should I have said Daddy?
I think it's. God. All right.
I'll see myself out. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to a Catholic mass right now.
Right.
Don't forget your little harness.
Don't worry. I've got the harness. Sorry.
Nothing weird happens at Catholic masses.
Okay, Emma. That's right. It.
It's
I'm done
real.
With you, Emma.
I Emma. Love Emma.
Emma, you're the best. Seriously. Thank you very much.
Oh, man.
All right. See y'all.
Conan O'Brien Needs a Fan. With Conan O'Brien, Sonam Avsesian, and Matt Gourley. Produced by me, Matt Gourley. Executive produced by Adam Sachs, Joanna Solotaroff, and Jeff Ross at Team Coco, and Colin Anderson at Earwolf. Music by Jimmy Vivino. Supervising producer, Aaron Blairt. Associate talent producer, Jennifer Samples. Associate producers, Sean Doherty and Lisa Berm. Engineered by Will Beckton. Please rate, review, and subscribe to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever fine podcasts are downloaded. This has been a Team Coco production in association with Stitcher.